Welcome to the weekly GBC Sermon Podcast from Gaimia Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. We're continuing our year-long series on Nehemiah called Renovation, Rebuilding for Purpose. This week, we read how the returned exiles of Israel turned from renovating walls to renovating hearts by keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll unpack a few elements of the Feast of Tabernacles and see how they helped Israel to look back, to look around, and to look forward to see God's faithfulness.
Morning, church. Just got the Bible reading this morning from Nehemiah chapter 8, 13 to 18. Very interested to see this one unpacked. You always pick good passages. On the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra, the teacher of the law, to give attention to the words of the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns in Jerusalem. Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees, and from myrtles, palms, and other leafy trees, to make temporary shelters, as it is written. So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves temporary shelters on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of the God, and in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from exile built temporary shelters and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated like this. And their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the festival for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly.
Fantastic. Yes, I'm interested to see this one unpacked as well. Well, hi, church. How are you? It's great to be here with you today. My name is Roxanne. I'm one of the associate pastors here at Gaimia Baptist Church. Special g'day to everyone watching online. I'm glad to see you. Say g'day in the chat. We absolutely love to welcome you in person. Well, as Mark said earlier, we are continuing in a series that we've been doing called Renovation, Rebuilding for Purpose. And it's called Renovation because that's exactly what's happening here in Nehemiah. Let me just kind of fill you in on what's been happening with the people of God so far. The people of God have followed God's call. They've been settled in the promised land. They were unable to fulfill their promises. They were not faithful, even though God was faithful, and they've gone into a time of exile. And Nehemiah sits in the return from exile. So the people, God's people, have been in captivity. They were taken away from the promised land, and now they have returned. And the renovation has been ongoing. Zerubbabel has rebuilt the temple for the sacrifices. Well done him. The temple is up. Ezra, the teacher, has been renovating the hearts of the people in trying to expound the law, the Torah, and that's going okay. And then Nehemiah, who we've been tracking with all year, has heard about the walls of Jerusalem, and he's said, well, we can't let these walls be in the state they're in. And so he's come in with some big bags of cash and supplies, and together they have renovated the walls of Jerusalem. But now in Nehemiah, the attention shifts, and instead of renovating the physical stuff, we're actually going to do some renovation of the heart. We are going to start renovating our hearts. And so last week, if you were here, and if you didn't listen to that sermon last week or catch up on it, you can do that on our podcast. Mark took us through and we looked at how the people sat down with the law and they had to understand what the law said. That was the passage that we read last week, as they had to really get it in their heads. What does the law say? And they understood, they responded with some tears and then some laughter as they realised the joy of the Lord is their strength. So this week, it's not so much about understanding, it's actually about moving from understanding to obeying. And they're different things. Mondays in the Lawler household, it's room cleaning day. I don't know if you have if you've got families and you've got a particular day when the kids are supposed to clean their room. And this is where I think the understanding and the obedience falls down in our household, let me just say. Because our kids, they know that Monday is room cleaning day. They understand that. They understand where the vacuum cleaner is. They understand how it works. They understand how to plug it in. They understand dirty things go in the dirty clothes hamper and the room should be clean. That doesn't necessarily mean that they have obeyed that. Yeah? I don't know if anybody else has that experience in their household. But Israel here, in this particular passage that we've read, they've understood the law. And finally, you know what they're going to do? They are going to start to obey the law. They are going to take the step out and they're going to obey it. Because ultimately, what has led to them being exiled from the land is because they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And if they did understand it, they didn't obey it. They haven't obeyed and they've been put into exile. And so now they're like, right, we're going to know it and we're going to do it. And what do they do? They do something called the Festival of Tabernacles. Just interesting to note here that this is on the first day they understand. On the second day, all the heads of the households come together and they understand it fully and then they enact it. There is another little festival, and I say little, there is a pretty significant festival in the middle of all this that Nehemiah just kind of skips over. It's the Day of Atonement, which sits in between these dates. But I think Nehemiah is trying to tell us it's actually about the work of the people, not about the work of the priests. So if you're one of those Bible people that's like, hang on a minute, the Jewish calendar has skipped the Day of Atonement, I think our focus is meant to be on the work of the people. Just a little aside there. So the people now have decided they're going to obey God. And so they do something called the Feast or Festival of the Tabernacles. If you've been a Christian for a little while and you've done some reading in the Bible, you will have heard of this festival. It was the third of the festivals that all adult Jewish men were commanded to go to Jerusalem to celebrate. And they would come in three times a year and they would sing these psalms of ascent on their way and they would celebrate this feast. And this feast had a bunch of names. It's called the Festival of Tabernacles. Sometimes it gets called booths, like as in a little booth that you live in. Sometimes it's called the Festival of Ingathering because it's a harvest festival. And also, because it was so huge and there were so many animals sacrificed, it just became known as the Feast, like as in hashtag the Feast, because that was its short name. So you might have heard all of those names. Let me tell you about the Feast, because I think when we understand this Festival of Tabernacles, it actually, funnily enough, helps us to understand a little bit about Jesus. Go with me on this. Go with me on this. So what they would do, and as you can see here, they've been told to go out into the countryside and collect all these different plants, and that's what they would do. We just heard about the importance of doing things in community, and this is something that the entire community would do together. Picture the scene. It's been a long, hot summer. This festival takes place just as the weather's starting to turn. It's still summertime. It's still really dry. And everybody goes out into the surrounding countryside and they take palm branches and wild olive and they bring back all these this foliage and they make these huts. And the huts were kind of three-sided structures and all the foliage would go over the roof. And they would do this, they would create them anywhere, roofs of the house. We read here that it's, you know, by the water gate, in the courts of the temple. It would be everywhere and everyone would do it. And people come from far and wide to create these booths. And your booth, you had to have more shade than sun during the day. So you had to have some gaps. And at night, you had to be able to see the stars at night through the roof of your tabernacle. And that's what they did. And they ate and slept in them for a lot of times. And they would go around and visit everybody's booths. And it was this celebratory, exciting, communal time in the hot, hot summer. And for us in Sydney here in Australia, we don't really live close to the weather in the same way that the Israelites did. We get strawberries all year, right? We don't really rely on the seasons and depend on the seasons and pay really much attention to the weather unless it's La Nina. But for us, for these guys actually, this festival happened at the end of summer. And the feel, is probably the closest that I can imagine, is that season that I like to think of in Australia as you cannot get a tradesman. Let me explain what I mean. We've had schools finished, we've graduated, we've had Christmas, we've seen the relatives, we've done, everything is done, and then there's this hot season. It's sort of after Christmas, around New Year into January, and it's this hot season where you don't know what day it is. Everyone goes everywhere. People are up the coast camping, people are down the coast camping. You're just praying that the dishwasher doesn't break down or you don't need a tradesman because they're gone. And you know this feeling, and it's hot and you're waiting for the southerly buster to come through, and that feeling and that vibe, and everybody's on holidays, and we joke with people who have to work and say someone's got to keep the country running. You remember this time? Yeah? Okay. This is similar to what the Festival of Tabernacles or the Festival of Booths would have been like for the Israelites. Everybody's outside. Everybody's living. It's the end of summer. It's hot. And they're living in these booths, and the priests are sacrificing animals. They, in fact, in this 7 or 8 day stretch, they sacrificed 70 bulls. Every day they'd sacrifice a number of bulls. There was meat and the smell of barbecue, and it was an exciting communal time. And our verse says that not since the days of Joshua, son of Nun, had the Israelites celebrated this festival like this. And I think for us, there's probably three things I want to say out of this. And the first one, I want us to look back about the why they celebrated this. In their booths, with their being able to see the stars and more shade, and with the living outdoors at the end of summer, they had to look back. And when they gathered around Ezra to read the law, they would have read from Leviticus chapter 23, where God's people were commanded to keep this festival, the Festival of Tabernacles. And they would have heard this: live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters so that your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So for Israel, this festival was a look back, and it was a look back to the time where they were in captivity in Egypt and God had rescued them. He had redeemed them, he had brought them out of slavery, and he had promised to take them to the promised land. And there they were going through the wilderness, because even though God was faithful, the Israelites were not faithful, and they had to wander around the desert in the wilderness for 40 years. But in that time, God's faithfulness was evident to the people of Israel. During that time of wandering around in the wilderness, God was faithful. And they had to build these little booths and live in them. And they had the very presence of God with them. We call it the Shekinah glory of the Lord. And this glory of the Lord tabernacled, dwelt with them. They had the cloud by day to protect them from the hot sun. And they had the pillar of fire at night that journeyed with them all through this season in the wilderness. God was faithful to them. And Moses struck water and got water out of a rock, and they drank in the desert because of God's faithfulness. And when they needed to eat, God sent them manna, the famous bread from heaven. So they had the tabernacle glory, the presence of the Lord, the cloud, the pillar, the water from the rock, the bread of heaven. And now here they are in Nehemiah, and they've come back from a second exodus. They've had this sort of experience again where they're away from God, and they're celebrating and thanking God for his faithfulness and his provision. So they're looking back to the time. But they're also looking around. Because, as I said, this is the end of summer and this is a harvest season for Israel. And this is what they're doing. They would have already brought in the grain and the barley and all those things and thanked God and given the first fruits offerings of those. But this is the end of summer in Israel. And this is the time of the fruit harvest. This is the time when you go out and you get your grapes. And you've got to be out there in the hot, hot sun. You want to be staying in a little booth that's open so that you can work in the cool of the day, in the early evening, in the early morning. You've got to get your grapes in, you've got to get your olives in, you've got to get your citrus in to store that up for the year ahead. And this is a harvest festival. And they're looking around, living in these booths, and they're thanking God and saying, we're getting the harvest in. And yes, it's been a long, hot time, but God has provided for us and we're going to store this in. The harvest is in. And one of the things that they did in this, it's not actually written in this verse in Nehemiah. It comes from a rabbinical source, but we know that this is what they did, is they had a ceremony about water. Because in Israel, at the end of summer, in the seventh month, on the 15th of the seventh month, it was dry. Dry, dry, dry. It doesn't rain in Israel over the summer. And they've gone through this long period, their last harvest, and they're waiting for the rains and they're waiting for God's provision and that planting season to start again and again so that God's faithfulness in the weather can make the community flourish. And here they are, it's dry, dry, dry. And there's only three ways to get water in Israel. The first way is if you have a cistern or a stone kind of container. But the thing with that is you're putting water in that and it can evaporate and your stone cistern can crack and the water leaches out and it also gets stale. It's not a great source of water. The second way you can get water in Israel is you can go to a well. And they dug wells and you get the bucket and you pull up the beautiful cold well water, and that's a great way to get water. But sometimes, and especially at this time of year, wells run dry. Wells can run dry. But there was a third way. This is the best way to get water. The best way is to get spring water. Water from deep, deep in the earth. It's like a spring that bubbles up. And we've got springs here in Australia, and maybe you've been to one and seen what that's like, where the water just bubbles up. And it bubbled up so much that they had a nickname for it, and they called it living water because it was bubbling. And so that's what they did. And there was a pool that you might have heard of in Bible stories called the Pool of Siloam. And this was fed by a spring. So it always had this water that was fed by a natural spring. And during this festival, everyone's intense. It's the hot summer, and the people are celebrating this like they haven't done since Joshua, son of Nun. The priests would get together and they would have this massive celebration at the temple. And they would take a huge big pitcher, like not a picture, but a pitcher, to carry water. And they would have flutes and lutes and singers, and they would process down the steps of the temple with a whole bunch of noise and shouts and the people coming along. And the priest would take this and he would dip it in the Pool of Siloam where the spring water was fed. And they would celebrate this and they would pour it back. And each day at the Feast of Tabernacles, the priest would stand there with a pitcher and he would have a water libation ceremony. He'd pour the water out, and then he'd pour some wine out too, for funs and summers. So they'd pour this water out and the people would shout and they would sing, and they would sing particular psalms called the Hallel Psalms, Psalms 113 to 118. And the Hallel Psalms is a psalm of praise. And we use that word, don't we? It's hallelujah. Yeah, praise to God, or praise God. So they would sing these songs and they would say to God, God, we're looking around and here's the harvest. You bring it in the harvest and it's dry and our water sources are running dry. But God, we need you. We need you to be our water source. We need you to help us with the harvest. Be faithful in the way that you have in the past as we look forward. Be faithful, bring rain, bring what we need for the coming planting season. And they would celebrate this together. Sounds great. I like it. I'm happy to understand and obey that because I think I want to be part of it. I like camping. But I think for us as Christians, we don't need to just look back or look around. I actually think we need to look ahead. And we need to look ahead because we are people who know about Jesus. And I think in this ceremony, in the Festival of Tabernacles, there's aspects of Jesus that we can see. Because in John chapter 1, verse 14, John talks about the arrival of Jesus. And he says this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that word, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In some Bibles, it actually says the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Same word, booth, tabernacle, that Jesus became in the form of a man, fully God, took on the likeness of man and dwelt, tabernacled among us. And we have seen his glory. And doesn't that just remind us that just like Israel looked back at that time in the wilderness where God was with them and they beheld the glory with the pillar of fire and the cloud by day. And they saw that and they experienced that glory where God dwelt with them. We can look ahead and we can see, we get to see Jesus. We get to see Jesus who became flesh and tabernacled, dwelt among us. And when we look at him, we don't just see the pillar of fire and the cloud, but we see the glory of the Lord made up in Jesus. And Jesus is like that. And in the wilderness, as they went through, there was water from the rock. And Paul will go on in one of his letters to say that Jesus is the water from the rock. And as they were in the wilderness, getting that manna, that bread from heaven, Jesus will say that he is the true bread from heaven. Jesus is that true bread of heaven. So as they celebrated this Feast of the Tabernacles then, declaring God's glory and his provision and his protection about how he provided for them in the past and he provides for them today, we can look ahead and we can see, yeah, and he does that in Christ. Christ is the fulfillment of all of this, and we can see how Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and prophets. But that's not all. That's not all. Because in John chapter 7, we see that Jesus, as an Israelite man, would have been required to go up to these festivals. He would have been required to go to feasts like the Feast of Tabernacles. And he does in John chapter 7. A little bit of a controversy. We don't know if he's going to turn up or not, but he does. And he turns up at the feast, as they knew it then. And I like to think it happens during this libation ceremony, when the priest in the pitcher, and they've got the living water from the pool of Siloam, that living spring water, and they're pouring it out on that last day of the festival. Jesus stands up, and let me read to you from John chapter 7 about the Feast of the Tabernacles. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And by this he meant the Spirit, from those who believed in him were yet to receive. This festival of tabernacles, this celebratory, the living in booths, the reminder of what God's faithfulness has been, and this water ceremony about the end of summer, Jesus says, that's about me. If you really, really are thirsty, if you really, really want to rely on God, then I am the fulfillment of that. I am the one you've been waiting for. This is about me. This festival is actually about me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And church, I want to say that for some of us, it's been a long, hot summer. This season has been long and tiring and draining. And for some of us, we're kind of resting on the cisterns of our own life. We know that God has been faithful in the past and we're clinging on to that like the cistern, that God has filled us once upon a time, but that water's getting a bit stale and our cistern's getting a bit cracked and it's evaporating. And for some of us, at that long, hot end of this season, we're trying to get water from our own well. We're digging up our own well and we're trying to get stuff, but that well's running dry. That well's running dry. I want to say, just like in this ceremony, the priest reminded us that we have to rely on God every day, that living water, that spring water for everything. I want to say that that's Jesus, that for us, we can look to Jesus, and Jesus wants to give us that living water that will flow up from within us that only he can provide and only he can give us. So, the Feast of the Tabernacles, or the Festival of Tabernacles, I think there's elements of Jesus. Now, for Israel, as I said before, we're talking about renovating not just the walls, but renovating their hearts. And they had to understand and they had to obey. And for them, it was about obeying Torah. But for us, it's actually about looking to Jesus as the one who helps us, the one who has fulfilled every promise, everything that we need. And spoiler alert, as we go through Nehemiah, we find that eventually the people can't obey. They can understand a bit, but eventually they can't obey. They can't get their relationship with God right by themselves. But for us who are in Christ, who are following Jesus, who are apprentices to Jesus, we know that Jesus has done everything in order to get our relationship with God right, in order that we might understand and that we might obey God, God in us. So, for Israel, it's a renovation of the heart for Torah, but for us, it's in Christ. And I want to say that if we are in Christ, not only does Jesus dwell and tabernacle among us, not only does he give us living water, but he puts that spirit in us and we become the tabernacle of God. We talked a little bit recently about we being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us to understand and it helps us to obey. So Jesus is renovating our hearts. But I want to say as well, this is the final thing I want to say. The renovation continues. As Jesus renovates our hearts, as we go to him for everything, as we see him protecting and providing and giving us everything we need, once we have him in our hearts, once we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we get to do the work of renovation too. And that's the call on our lives when we belong to Christ, that we become the renovators, that we get to partner with Jesus who tabernacles with us, and the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, and we get to be the people that partner with God and go out and help to renovate, renew and restore the world in partnership with Jesus, because that's what he's called us to do. We get to be the renovators, church. What a great thing. Festival of the Tabernacles, eh? Amazing, isn't it? And it's about Jesus, and we see him in the Word. Church, I'm going to invite the band to come up and join me up on the platform. And as they come up, I'm going to lead us in prayer. Now, as well as praying for us, we always have members of the prayer team down the front. And so if this has stirred up something for you, if you're feeling dry or cracked or you just need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit or you just need to know the presence of God in your life, or you want to be involved in that renovation and you don't know how, or you want to obey God and you don't know how, let me just encourage you to come up and get some prayer, or prayer for anything. And if you're online, why don't you click that prayer button and just type in your prayer request. And our prayer team faithfully pray for you every week. So please do that. We would love and be honoured to pray for you and with you in that. But as the band are up, let me just invite you to stand with me and let's talk to the God who provides before we sing about his incredible faithfulness to us. Loving God, we thank you. Thank you so much for your word, and thank you that you are a God of renovation, that as we look at this festival of tabernacles, this look back, this look around, and this look forward, that we can rely and trust in you, the God who provides, the God who gives us everything we need, and ultimately, everything we need is found in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this. And Lord, I pray for us that we might be people who are willing to have our hearts renovated, that we could understand and obey through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for us that as we go out to understand and obey, that you would help us to be agents of renovation as well, that where you're calling us, we would go, that we would see and be able to declare who you are to those around us. And Lord God, I just want to pray a special blessing on those who are Christians who've come from a Jewish background. Lord, I think of organisations like Jews for Jesus. Lord, I want to bless them and I want to thank you for the knowledge and the information that they give us about the Torah and the Old Testament and how it is seen in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord God, for more of our Jewish community to come to see you, even as we have come to see and know you. So thank you. Thank you, God, for being faithful always. Amen.
We pray this message has challenged and strengthened you, encouraged you to pray and rely on God, and blessed your life today.